Reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots from the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. Verbum Domini.
In the path with sinners, nor abides in the company of scorners, but whose delight is the law of the Lord, and who ponders his law day and night. Like a tree that is planted beside the flowing waters, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves shall never fade, and all that he does shall prosper.
Blessed are they.
Not so are the wicked, not so. For they, like winnowed chaff, shall be driven away by the wind. For the Lord knows the way of the just, but the way of the wicked will perish.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Verbum Domini. Dominus vobiscum.
Et tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi, Christe.
There were two young college students who, when they first met, immediately seemed to be inseparable, as they were the rest of their lives, in fact. Her name was Raisa. She had been born in Russia, had lived there 10 years before coming to Paris. His name was Jacques, and he had grown up in France, still having the effects of the French Revolution with the rejection of God. And they were both studying at the Sorbonne in Paris. And at this, their professors there at the Sorbonne were atheists. Those who taught the science classes were materialists. Everything can be explained materially, with just the natural causes of the forces of material things. Their philosophy professors were relativists. There is no such thing as truth. Truth is what you make it out to be. And after being subjected to this for 2 years, it began to just weigh on their souls. And it was leading them really to despair. And Raisa wrote her memoirs of her life and of this time in their lives. And here's what she wrote. They would go to this park in Paris near the river where they had a museum of natural history, and there were bears and lions and elephants and otters that they could look at, and they would give them a piece of bread. And she wrote, "We'd love to come here after class. When I would walk home from the Sorbonne, and like all the loiterers in this garden, we were old friends with the innocent animals whom you could please with a bit of bread. But on that particular day, We went by without looking at the bears, without even hearing the sea lions. And most decidedly, we were not happy. We were even very unhappy. And she speaks about the intensity of the deep distress in her heart, fainting with hunger and thirst after the truth. This anguish going down to the very roots of the desire of life. It was in an anguish of this kind that I lived. But a little later, it was so mercifully healed. She said that she can't really re-experience that. She'll never forget it, she said, because one does not forget the gates of death. Everything at that time seemed to be just absurd. I want to know whether existence is an accident, a blessing, or a misfortune. I had already come to believe myself an atheist. She had been persuaded, she said, by her atheist teachers, or rather devastated by them. It is no longer possible to live humanly. I would have accepted a sad life, but not one that was absurd. And so what she and Jacques said and decided that day was they would give it a year to come to understand if existence had any meaning at all. And if not, they would commit suicide. They would do at least one act of their own self-will, taking their lives. Well, in God's providence, he would bring people into their lives, devout Catholics like Léon Blois. We English speak it, would say Léon Blois. Léon Blois, who was a devout Catholic and an author, and he wrote a book about this woman who had grown up in very devastating circumstances. It was a novel. But at the end of that book, he wrote something that affected them. There's only one tragedy in the end, not to have been a saint. In fact, Jacques Maritain, he would later quote him more extensively. This must have been something that Léon would often say with an even greater emphasis. The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint. And so there were a number of other people that came into their lives. They began to understand, yes, there is truth. Yes, there is a meaning to life. It's not just absurd. It's not meaningless. It's not something without reason. And so they came. In fact, Raissa came close to death from a very serious illness. And she speaks about the moment that they were baptized and what she and Jacques were thinking. They were thinking, well, this is the last chance. And so she went, and Léon Blois was the godfather for Raissa and Jacques. The three of us took ourselves to the Church of St. John of the Evangelists on Montmartre. I was in a state of absolute dryness and could no longer remember any of the reasons for my being there. One single thing remained clear in my mind. Either baptism would give me faith and I would believe and I would belong to the church altogether, or I would go away unchanged, an unbeliever forever. Jacques had almost the same thoughts. We were baptized at 11 o'clock in the morning. This was June 11th, the Feast of St. Barnabas, 1906. Léon being our godfather, an immense peace descended upon us, bringing with it the treasures of faith. There were no more questions, no more anguish, no more trials. There was only the infinite answer of God. The church kept her promises, and it is she whom we first loved. It is through her that we have known Christ. I think now that faith, a weak faith impossible to formulate consciously, already existed in the most hidden depths of our souls, but we did not know this. It was the sacrament which revealed it to us, and it was sanctifying grace which strengthened it in us. We passed a heavenly day with a blue os, our Godfather's heart bursting with joy. The next day I left for the watering place where I'd been sent by my doctor. I carried my newfound joy with me. So she knew what it was like to be as described in today's first reading and in our responsorial psalm today. She knew what it was like not to know the blessings of the Lord, not to know the happiness that our Lord described in the gospel, because the word he actually uses is makarios, which is happy. There's a happiness that is prepared for us, for those who even in this life suffer from being poor, weeping, mourning, these things that are experienced for all of us in some way in this life, that we're going to have this happiness that's prepared for us. And even if we would suffer for the sake of Christ, he said, leap for joy. Leap for joy, because the reward is going to be so great. And so what did Jeremiah prophesy? Cursed is the one who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a barren bush in the desert. And this is what they experience from their atheist professors, the materialism of their science teachers, that it all can be explained to just forces of nature. There's nothing greater. Or the philosophers who said, well, there's no such thing really as truth. There is no God. They're like a barren bush in the desert. They weren't happy professors. Far from it. That was their experience. And it led them to a devastation within too, that kind of thinking. Like a barren bush in the desert. But when they receive baptism, and think of baptism as this cleansing water that brought this life-giving water. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress. It still bears fruit. So what Jeremiah is also saying to us is that, yes, we will still experience sometime the heat of the desert. We will sometimes experience the drought of this life. And yet we're still going to have life. We're going to be fully alive, because we can tap our roots into that stream of living water, the living water that Christ gives to us, that he wants us to have and to be nourished with. And our psalm today says the same thing. Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked or walks in the way of sinners, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. Do you meditate on the law of the Lord? Do you read the scriptures? Do you pray with the scriptures? You tune into the daily mass because you want to hear God's word, and it's nourishing your soul. But we should all be those who look to the the living water that comes to us in the scriptures. It's providential that in our divine office today we had St. Ephrem. And he talks about this very thing. He said, Lord, who can comprehend even one of your words? We lose more of it than we grasp, like those who drink from a living spring. For God's word offers different facets according to the capacity of the listener. And he says, a thirsty man is happy when he's drinking. He's not depressed because he cannot exhaust the spring. So let this spring, God's word, quench your thirst and not your thirst the spring. For if you satisfy your thirst without exhausting the spring, then when you thirst again, you can drink from it once again. That's the beauty of God's word. You know, if you read a good novel, you read something, you might read it a second time or even a third time, but you're not typically going to read it every day. But God's word is something different. It's like there's always something new that he's teaching us. There's always a life-giving water that's nourishing our souls, that's helping us in the drought of this life and in the hardships of this life and the desert of this life. Its leaves stay green. And so we need to reach out our roots, the roots of our soul, to God's word, to meditating on it day and night, as Psalm 1, the very first of the Psalms, tells us to do. Our leaves will stay green, even in the drought, even in the desert, and we will continue to bear fruit. Fruit that will endure. So what was it that Jacques Maritain and his wife, Raissa, came to discover with great joy and great happiness? What St. Paul speaks of today. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know, as a young girl growing up in Russia, she had asked herself the question, well, why is there God? If God is good, then why is there suffering? And she grew up in the Jewish faith. Why is there suffering? If God exists, then why wouldn't he eliminate suffering? If he's all good, then why would he allow this? Why would he allow wicked people? But then she came to discover the answer in Christ. That he doesn't take away the suffering of this world, but he gives it meaning. He gives it purpose. He gives it an explanation to reveal God's great love for us as he does on the cross. And so St. Paul tells us Christ has been raised from the dead, from that suffering. He's the first fruits. In other words, there's other fruits. That's us, who believe in him, who have life in him, the first fruits of those who've already fallen asleep. That's the good news. And so even in this life, things have been reversed, that we can seek after just the material things of this life and run after those, and the Lord says, woe. If that's what your goal is, if that's what you're after, woe, it's not going to end well for you. You're missing the greater purpose of life. But if even in this life you are poor, you're hungry, you're weeping, you're even hated for my sake, rejoice, leap for joy, because your reward is going to be great in heaven. Our leaves will stay green. We will continue to bear fruit, even in the desert of this life. Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He's like a tree planted near running water, that yields his fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Finally, an article that was written about the story of Jacques and Raissa talked about when she first was going to go to study at the college, that she was asked, you know, what was she seeking? And she said, to know what is. And her professor was pleased with that answer. To know what really is, to know what is. And he concludes, her poetry, her essays, her memoirs are all a gentle and joyful answer to the question that guided her life. Raissa sought to know what is. In silence and in the midst of the cares of life, she found her answer. Be still and know that I am God.